You're listening to Hottery Humble.
No howling, only wooing.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go!
Welcome, welcome to episode 25 of the Hard to Be Humble podcast. I am the humblest man on earth, Tommy Stickle, and I'm joined, as always, by the greatest value, Chad Graham. How you doing,
the
Chad?
The greatest. Tommy, I'm good. I'm a little heartbroken. I'm saddened by the loss of Kobe Bryant.
Ooh.
Having a hard time coming out of it.
Really?
To be honest. The more I read about Kobe, how awesome of a dad he was, what he meant to the basketball community. As a child, did you watch NBA? You said you didn't watch NBA much as a kid, right?
Not much. I mean, everybody knew who Kobe was. I at least knew who he played for. You know, he was the biggest superstar of that sport.
Yeah. I was a little hesitant at first because I was a Jordan guy. Jordan fans can relate, where it's like, this guy's stepping on Jordan turf. He doesn't belong here. How dare you compare somebody to his airness? So I was a little late, but guy's a legend. Just some of the, and as a perspective, as a father, you can get this, like with his kid in the helicopter, his daughter, like, whew, it is, I don't know. It's been tough, man.
Yeah.
What I've enjoyed to see is how everyone's kind of coming together on it, though. It's really cool, like how much bigger than sports that Kobe was. All the cool stories that are coming out now, what Kobe did, and some of the people he's helped. Oh, man, it's just – it's great to hear that. And people, I love when people come together. So that's awesome. It's more than sports. Same time, like, it's just super sad. I mean, it's just awful what happened.
Tragic for sure. Yeah, I always viewed Kobe through the lens of, if Michael Jordan had never played, then Kobe would be the best. You know, he would be regarded as the best player probably ever to play in the NBA. But he is basically like, if you take Michael Jordan and all his stats, Kobe's like just a little bit less in everything. So it's like Michael Jordan was definitively the better player than Kobe. They're so similar. It's freakish. Yeah. You know, have you seen those weird montages that people have put together of like, they do the same spin moves. They do the same jump shot. Like everything is so similar in their game. And I always felt, I guess I would say bad for him. I mean, maybe I shouldn't, but you know, it was like he had the greatest, you know, he was just so close to being the greatest, but the greatest was still a little bit above him.
Yeah, he actually scored more points than Michael Jordan, though. Like, total, not per game. But he did pass Michael. And then
in total,
what was crazy was LeBron just passed Kobe in total points scored on Saturday. And that's why I thought it was a hoax, because I thought somebody was just trying to, like, LeBron passed him on number 3 on the list. Kobe's 4, Mike's 5. Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I don't know. It didn't necessarily it didn't really impact me all that much. It probably sounds bad to say that about somebody who had a tragic. I mean, it's very tragic.
This is what I did last night
with this family. It was just, it's more shocking, and I was just kind of like, oh, okay. I didn't know him.
I didn't know him personally either. They aired his last game again with like a lot of cool montages and things towards Kobe. And like his last game, he scored 60 points.
That's pretty
cool.
Really
cool. I mean, they just let him shoot. So it was really neat. So they re-aired it last night and I watched it. And I don't know, man. A lot of people like speaking up and everything. So I don't know. Got to me. He's an icon.
Did you hear what Mus had to say in his press conference, his pregame press conference for South Carolina about Kobe?
Yeah, that was really cool.
Well, let's share what he had to say. You know, since this is a Razorback podcast, let's bring it, you know, let's make it about the Razorbacks a little bit. So Mus just kind of shared some cool stories. And if you want to hear it yourself, you can go find the link Pig Trail Nation on YouTube, and you should be able to search, you know, Musselman, you know, pre-South Carolina game. Basically, he told some neat stories about his time in the NBA. Kobe was really nice and would give him signed gear for his two sons. he kind of alluded to the fact it seemed like Kobe would kind of turn down certain people for those types of requests. But if he saw that you were a person that had the same or a similar type of competitive grind that he did, he respected you and would help you out. So after a game, he, you know, gave his shoes to Mus and signed them and gave one shoe to one son, one to the other, and then just had some other kind of interesting stories about Mus was a coach against him. I think this was when he was at the Memphis Grizzlies, I think is what he was saying. But basically he said for the first quarter, they were playing him or shading him to the right. And then their plan was to keep alternating which way they were going to play him, just because they can, just to keep him off his game as much as possible. And quarter two, they went to the left. And then at halftime, he came out and looked at Mus and said, "What are you going to do, play me straight up this time?" And just some cool stuff like that. Kobe's just such an awesome competitor. He has another story about leaving super late from one of the minor league Lakers division practice facilities, I guess. And Mus was one of the last people in the building. He was walking out. He said only the security guard was left in the building. And Kobe was sitting there in his car beside Mus's. And he basically, you know, when Mus showed up, he goes, "Were you the last one in there?" Mus said, "Yep." And he goes, "Great. I'm going to go in there and practice. I don't want you in there. I don't want anybody in there." And it's like, just to know how hard he worked to be what he was, I think is the story of Kobe Bryant. It's talent is a key, but if you don't have that competitive grind and that just work ethic, otherworldly work ethic, I mean, that's what it takes to be great. And he showed that. It's neat to see.
That was a nice recollection, Tommy. I didn't see you looking at notes or anything. That was just off the cuff.
Oh, yeah, man.
Quite the summary there of Mus's notes at all. You crushed that. Like, I was a bit worried if you'd asked me to recap it because I could not have quoted it half as well as what you just did.
Hey, man, I have a really good short-term memory, I feel like. Very poor long-term memory. So if you ask me what happened last year in Arkansas sports, I don't remember. But remember recent things really well.
As long as you know what your strengths are, your weaknesses, and leverage them. Look at you, just crushing it.
Exactly.
Like, when's my birthday, Tommy?
It is December.
Ooh.
I have it in my phone. I'm not. I don't remember the exact date. Is it 19th or 20?
Close. 21st.
20. Okay. I was gonna say 19 or 21st.
Look at you.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I've got to save it in my phone to remember. There's zero chance of me remembering it. You know, everybody's got one. That's my
one.
And you got, apparently you have to, it's like names. Everybody's got a name. Everybody's got a birth date. You got to remember them. It's tough. So, Chad, how about that that nice W against TCU?
It is good.
Feel good.
To watch
good.
The team win. Feel good. Exhale. Like, feel good. Why can't we play like that in conference, Tom?
It's
of course
odd.
It was a non-conference.
Minus
game.
Isaiah Joe.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Best game we've had in a long time. Minus a player.
It's not zero correlation that Isaiah Joe was out and the reason we played better. That's asinine. We didn't play better because Joe was out. The team's just figuring it out. But it felt good. It looked good.
You got to get guys in rhythm, I think. And sometimes if certain players kind of hog, you know, if you're on the team and you know Isaiah Joe's on your team, you're always going to pass it to him because that's the, quote, the right thing to do, right? So I honestly think that the guy who kind of stepped in and had a big game without him was actually Desi Sills. That's the guy that I felt like kind of stepped up. He came off the bench, actually. He wasn't even a starter. And really, to me, was one of the most important players for us, I think. He had a great game.
Yeah, to be fair, last week we said we needed to go 1-1. We were realistic. We go back, listen to the tape. It's real. We said, all right, let's go 1-1. You know, that's what we expect. That's what happened. I'm not shocked we lost at Mississippi State. Not shocked at all.
They're a good team.
Conference road opponent, and they're really big.
Yeah.
Reggie Perry's good.
Reggie Perry, I mean, if I were an NBA executive, he would be at the top of my list. Whichever team gets him, I'm gonna pay attention because Reggie Perry, I think, is a real deal talent who's going to be really good in the NBA. I was so impressed by Reggie Perry. He's good.
Yeah, Hawks play bad too, so. kind of both.
One of those games where clearly Mississippi State was good at everything we're bad at, and really we're okay at everything we're good at. You know, it was like everything about Mississippi State matchup is the perfect scenario to beat us, and they did. So credit them. And Mississippi State's a pretty fine team. You know, they're fine. They got a really great player. So I'll be honest, it did kind of stink losing to them. I don't know why. Oh, yeah. It still made me mad. Even though you can rationalize everything and understand it, in the moment, it still just makes you mad. I didn't like the way the refs were playing that game. I felt like they were kind of calling a lot of away, you know, like just weird fouls just at weird times, just out by the three-point line. It was just weird stuff, and I hate when that happens, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. This just came to me, Tom. You know what? You can decline to play if you want to, and we may be killing this rapid-fire game over and over again.
Okay.
So it's fine. Leave it all. It just totally came to me. We can name some play Arkansas Razorback basketball players currently on roster. And I want you to say the first thing that comes to mind, and we can rotate, of an item in your household.
Okay.
Of what that player reminds you of.
Okay. So you name a player, I will name something in the first thing that pops into my mind of a household item around me or whatever. Something in my house. Yeah. Okay.
Something in your house that says, I'm going to do one. No, I'm going to save it. Because like one popped in my head immediately.
Perfect.
And I'm not going to ask you who this person is, so you can ask me so I can tee myself up. So let's go back and forth. All right. Okay. So I'm going to ask you one. Adriel Bailey.
Bread. Loaf of bread. 100% whole wheat loaf of bread. Sandwich bread, cut up.
Well, why did that pop in your head?
Maybe because it starts with a B. Both start with a B. I don't know, but you know, kind of tall, and you know,
he's got a lot of substance to him. He's the backbone, really, of the defense.
Think about it. I mean, you eat a lot of bread. Bread goes just about with anything. You put Adriel on any team, and he's going to be fairly important. You know, you can't eat a sandwich without bread. Think about it. Ever.
Mason Jones.
I think what's happening is I'm associated things with the letters. The first thing I thought of was hair gel.
Hair gel, Mason Jones.
Something.
You know what? Style points, because Mason Jones adds a little bit of style, adds a little bit of flair to the hair.
Yeah, just some nice gel. Run it through your hair.
Do every player. I just want to do a couple.
Okay, give me one more.
Let's go, Desi Seals.
Hammer. A hammer came into my mind.
Yes.
Yeah, hammer.
A transition game. He is hammering away.
He hammers those threes, man. And when he misses them, they just bounce off the backboard. They go flying because he misses them so hard.
You should have said Roomba. He's like a Roomba out there.
A Roomba. That's
a
good one.
Because he's just everywhere.
That's right. Roomba is a pretty good one. Okay, let me ask you some. Let's go. I feel like mine are all going to be the negatives. We'll start a positive. Jimmy Witt,
all-purpose cleaner.
Ooh.
You know why? Because he can do it all, Tommy, right when you need him. An all-purpose cleaner can clean anything in your house just about, basically, you know.
Very efficient.
He plays defense, Tom. I mean, he heck of a game, TCU. He scores when you need him. That mid-range jumper. Ooh. But the free throws, man. We got to ask somebody like on the inside, like give me the inside scoop on these free throws. They're bad.
Yeah.
Only downside.
Yeah. His biggest downside is he looks ugly with his free throws. And unfortunately
they don't go in either.
Yeah. That's kind of been recently. He was really good for a long time. Recently he's gotten on the bad side of things with those, but the way a player looks plays a big key in professional sports. People don't want to draft or take a chance on somebody that looks bad because they know that their fans will judge them harshly off that if that player isn't good. If the player looks good, it's kind of like you can't – it's just one thing to judge that decision off of, and I really feel like Jimmy Witt should have a good – or should have some kind of professional career, but that free throw shot is going to cost him money, unfortunately. Like if he were to just adjust it and not look bad, even if he lost like 5 or 10 percentage points off of it, it'd probably gain him more money in the long run.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
So we did Jimmy Witt. Let's do Reggie Chaney.
Reggie Chaney is like a lamp to me, Tommy. Ugh. You know why he's a lamp? He just sits there sometimes.
Yes.
Right? You can turn it on. Sometimes you can turn Chaney on and he gets some big dunks and it's exciting. A lot of times he's just sitting over there.
A lamp is never necessary. Yeah. It's just there for, I mean, if you want everything else off, you can turn on the lamp. And you know, lamps do have their time to shine. But he really needs to upgrade from a lamp to like a circuit breaker. You know, he needs to be something that stays on all the time.
Love it.
All right.
Give me my least favorite player.
Gene Tall Silla.
Trash can, Tommy. Trash can.
Man.
Because that's where the trash goes. You get it?
He's so out of his league, man. He's so out of his league. So Chad, is he like the trash can that's outside that you take to the street for the garbage man to dump, or is he like your trash can you keep in the kitchen that you pull out from your drawers? You know.
Oh, neither. He's got his own trash can location.
Ooh.
He made a three against TCU, but I'm more mad that he took the three. Like, I'm not excited that he made the three, but why are you taking threes? Don't do that.
Yeah. He just looks...
No, he didn't. He missed.
He's a fine rebounder. I think that's one thing he's okay at. When he goes up and gets a rebound, it looks fine, but literally everything else about his game, he looks lost. And literally when he's playing on our team, every other player looks like an Arkansas Division I Power 5 athlete, and he looks... He looks subpar. He looks like he is not the same caliber as every other athlete on our team. And I feel like that says a lot.
Absolutely. We got another game we're going to play too, right? You want to hop into that, or you want to talk more analysis?
Oh, let's just do the games, man. Let's get it.
Absolutely. You want to? So we were talking about this game. I think it's going to be fun. We all played a version of this game growing up as kids. We're just going to tweak it a little bit. To some Razorbacks, right, for football. So instead of kill, marry, I don't know what I can say on the radio, but also we're gonna play
spend
punch.
The night.
Spend the night. Kill, marry, spend the night. But we're gonna
has a ring to it.
kill, marry, spend the night. We're gonna play punch. Stay with me here. We're going to play punch, high five, and lastly, best friend. It's a verb. You can best friend somebody. We can also unfriend them later. So we're going to talk about the games of the week. Who do you want to punch? Who do you want to high five? And who do you want to make your best friend?
Yes, and it's going to be a weekly thing that Chad and I keep going, hopefully, with, unless we might change it. We might think more and come up with better names. Who knows? But yeah, I like it for now.
Hopefully a better intro. Too.
Yeah.
What just happened?
We'll figure out something, but we feel like that's just a good way to recap, to be honest, because it's just kind of what you're most extreme about. So obviously, for those not familiar with the game, you know, for the punch section, we're going to choose somebody that we're mad at from the game. For the high five, it's probably somebody who did something kind of a flash in the pan. Like, we really enjoyed what they did that one game. Don't necessarily expect them to keep it going necessarily. Just, we really were happy about that. And then the best friend, that's kind of the committed one. Like, it's just been an ongoing love for this specific player. And it might not even be a player. It could be a coach. It could be a crowd. It could be anything associated with the game.
Hypothetically, I want you to think about this, what they've done on the court and off the court, in press conferences as well. Who would you want to be your best friend, Tommy, through all of that? Think about it. Who would you want to best friend?
My best friend. Oh,
who would you want to punch? Oh, I'm just throwing it out there. You know, who would you want to punch? And then two, you should give them a high five. You know, celebrate just in the moment. All right, go ahead. Who would you want a best friend after this week?
My best friend is definitely Jimmy Witt Jr.
Jimmy Witt is my answer. It's so obvious.
He's,
you have to do the same one.
TCU,
so
in the TCU game, he played how many minutes? 40
Too many.
Minutes. 40. He played all of them.
Heck.
Jimmy Witt, only player that played all of them. And 20 points, just the glue that we have to have. It's insane how big of an impact Jimmy Witt has had. You know, Musk can't stop spewing praise on him. And anytime he talks about him, he talks about his defense. You know, he said that Jimmy Witt is always the player to raise his hand when he asks the team who wants to defend this guy. And it's always like the top offensive guy on their team. Jimmy Witt's always the person who raises his hand. He wants the biggest challenge.
There's so much love for Jimmy Witt on this podcast right now. I can't.
It's nuts.
Reiterate enough. I love him.
It's nuts. We hate his free throws. We critique him there, but you know, all our best friends have those qualities that we don't necessarily, you know, like about them as well. It's okay.
Oh yeah.
So it's okay to not love every single aspect of somebody, but
we can work through it.
Man, Jimmy Witt, he is not the player I expected him to be. He knows what he is. He knows what he's good at, and he just focuses on that. Man, he's building quite the legacy for himself, I feel like, this year.
He seems like a stand-up guy too, right?
Yes.
I mean, I want to be his best friend. Like, I go get breakfast with him, you know?
I'll tell you this, if a professional team gives him a chance, I will be a bigger fan of that professional team because of it, because I know that they're paying attention to the things they need to pay attention to. He is a good enough player to make an impact in certain ways. You know, he's not going to be a star in the NBA. I'm not saying that, but just he knows his roles, and role players in the NBA, that's what it's about. You got to know your role.
I feel like by the end of this season, as many times as we name our best friend, Jimmy and myself are going to have best friend necklaces of, like, I have one piece of the heart and he has the other piece. Like, I think we're going to get there.
Ooh, that's a great idea for
best
a
friends
for yeah. Like a merchandise opportunity, having a necklace. I don't know if you can put NCAA players' names on things. In fact, I know you can't, but maybe you could put JW and get around it. Yeah, just put like a JW and yeah, sure. Little heart locket.
Man, how big of a transfer in was that, Tom? Such a big transfer. I downplayed it a little bit. So, a miss on my part. But man, that was a big transfer.
Absolutely.
And to see how much he's grown from his freshman year to where he's at now, insane. Props to Jimmy Witt. So, I got the same answer. He's my best friend. You're my best friend, Jimmy.
And I just looked up as well how many points he scored against Mississippi State. Again, he played 39 minutes against Mississippi State. So in the past two games, he's only not played 1 minute. And he had 20 points in that game as well. So just Mr. Consistency, it's pretty incredible. So we're going punch next. Mm-hmm. How about you give me your punch?
Okay, punch first. This may come as a bit of a surprise. Ooh. Mason Jones, want to punch him right now.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. We just talked about he's our MVP, but let me explain. Let me explain.
Okay, you better explain.
He is our MVP, Tommy. He is our MVP. Did he act like our MVP this week? No.
Not really.
No. He is underperforming where he's at. He's still contributing. He's still playing well. But you got to give me more. The bar is set way, way higher for Mason Jones and everybody else. He's playing too emotional right now. I need to get him back to playing Mason Jones ball and driving in. He's doing it some. He's getting better, but he's not there. He hit some good threes against TCU. He did play. He played well, but it's not enough for me. I need more.
20 points against TCU, so fairly decent game.
It was a good game.
Let's see. I think he got into – let me double check. I felt like he got into foul trouble, but I guess he did not because he only had two fouls that game. Always gets rebounds, which is super crucial for our team. Just – I mean, I can understand it. I feel like the punch is an emotional decision. Sometimes you don't factor in every single thing going on of why you punch a man. You just get mad sometimes and you react in anger. So I feel like this is your emotional response to an emotional Mason Jones.
And some of it still may be pent up from like how terrible he's played,
like when
previous week
when he was slapping himself against Kentucky during when he was shooting free throws.
Still, he shot 4 from 11 from the field against TCU. Yeah, he had 20 points, but 4 from 11 is not good from the field. So he played well. He can play better.
He can play better. I agree. it seemed like at the end of the game, you know, when we were trying to kind of wind it down, it was just like our offense was basically give the ball to Mason and he'll kind of run around and get fouled and go to the line. Like, that was it. It was kind of a weird ending to me, but I guess that's important. But still, I don't know.
Yeah, and he had 20 points against Mississippi State as well, but it just wasn't a good, I don't know. He can do better.
All right. Well, he was not who I wanted to punch in the face.
Oh, I know.
So I'm kind of going back and forth of who I want to punch. And can I punch two?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm just going to punch them both because, man, they just ticking me off. Adriel Bailey, Reggie Chaney. Yeah. They need to be punched in the face by their play. Like, somebody. Like, they need Michael Jordan to come out in the court and punch a teammate in the face. They just aren't performing. You know, Reggie Chaney started against TCU. He was a starter. Clearly, they had a game plan for Reggie Chaney. And whatever they had going into that game, they had to blow it up because he only got 14 total minutes. He was not effective at all. Only got how many? He got one rebound in his 14 minutes. Ended the game with 6 points, which is fine. I think they were all kind of around the rim, but just ineffective. Like, we need so much more out of these two players, and they're just not giving us. Now, Adriel, he's the harder one to punch in the face. He's a little bit harder. But the reason I'm going to punch him is because I was paying attention to how many rebounds he got. And going into the half, he had 3. And then coming out of the half, he quickly got 3 more and was up to 6. And I was getting pumped about it. I was like, oh, man. Yeah. He's coming alive. This is awesome. Didn't get a single rebound after that. And it just really, again, just the inconsistency there.
Frustrating.
It's just frustrating, you know.
He can be great.
Yeah.
We need him to be great to go to the tournament.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be, and I'm sure he is frustrated in his role. You know, it's not, he's not meant to be there. But still, it's just frustrating me. So in an emotional outpouring of anger, I'm going to punch them both in the face.
Yeah. He's shown us flashes where he can be awesome on defense. I mean, he's out there like missing layups, man, you know?
Yes.
Come on.
Very true.
I quit missing free throws.
Reggie Chaney doing stuff like that too. There's been moments that I'm like, oh, he's coming a lot. I feel like both of those players have had like very short spurts where I'm like, oh, this is the turning point where they're going to really step it up. And they just always get.
Then they just crap their pants.
Perfectly said. Yes. So finally, let's give some high fives, Chad. Who do you want to high five this week?
Let's end it on a high note. Giving high fives. You know what? This is a bit of an you're not going to pick this player. It's going to Jalen Harris, though, Tommy.
Wow.
High five Jalen Harris.
That's shocking to
me. And he's typically in the past one that is on the punching board.
Yes.
Right? He started. I mean, he had 33 minutes against TCU. He handled the ball well. He did really well. I feel like he had 6 assists. He was finding open players. To 2 turnovers, but he did a great job of distributing the ball. Hit his free throws, 2 for 2, knocked down a big 3, I remember. So like from a point standpoint, you know, not a lot. Grabbed 4 rebounds from a small point guard. So yeah, he came in and really filled a void there. So high five to you, Jalen. Keep it up.
All right.
In contrast to Mason, where Mason had a high bar set for him, Jalen Harris has a very low bar set from him. So
true. You can see the talent there. I know that. I'm shocked because on the group chat, the text chat that I'm a part of with Chad and another friend, you and that other friend love to talk smack about Jalen Harris. You love it. Almost like it makes you happier to do so. So
he
maybe
deserves it.
Maybe that's where it's coming from. In fact, not you, but the other person says they remind him of an 8th grade player. That's how much smack talk they give to Jalen Harris right now. So to actually be giving him a high five is shocking to me, but I like it. I see potential there. I haven't given up on him. I think next year he will be a starter on this team and a really key player. So again, he's still got some room to grow. Hopefully he can continue to get some experience and be ready to really step it up this offseason for next year. And the person I want to high five, Chad.
Hit me with it.
Desi Sills. I love Desi Sills. He's from Jonesboro.
Jonesboro.
I love Desi Sills, man. He is my type of player. He redid his hair, I think, this week. Put a little Razorback red, you know, Cardinal in his hair. Awesome move. It was like some kind of weird yellow blonde before. Terrible. Looked so bad. Oh. He and Isaiah Joe looked so bad a few weeks ago. Now he's got the red in his hair. I like it. Looks way better. So high five for just your hair alone. But really feel like I kind of mentioned this earlier. He had a really important role against TCU. He had a really bad game against Mississippi State earlier. So that's why, you know, I'm not best friending him. He was really bad, actually, against Mississippi State. So I feel like that's where that kind of one good game, one bad game kind of, you know, that might be our high five guy. But really, I was really impressed with Desi Sills. You know, he could have come out deflated. You know, Isaiah Joe wasn't playing. He's been a starter. You would assume that that's kind of a slap in the face is, you know, to him to a certain extent. But he handled it well and showed how important player he is to the team. So high five, Desi. I'm a big fan.
Northeast Arkansas, stand up.
That's right. That is right. Not a ton of football talent out of there, but hey, at least we get some basketball sometimes. Yeah, sometimes some football is okay, but anyways. So, Chad, let's look ahead to the next basketball games. We got...
You excited?
About what?
About the games coming up. You excited? You still have the excitement for Hogs basketball? Oh,
yeah, absolutely. I think these next two games are actually some really fun matchups. Really fun matchups. South Carolina on Wednesday. Let's check it out. What time is that game? South Carolina at 7:30 p.m. on SEC Network. I always like the SEC Network commentators. I don't know why. I would actually rather be on SEC Network than like ESPN2 or news. Yeah, I don't know. That might sound weird, but I like the SEC Network guys better than the other guys. So that game on Wednesday, and then on Saturday we're going to Tuscaloosa playing Alabama at 5, also on the SEC Network. So kind of some, probably a favorable game and probably an unfavorable game for us, but let's kind of dive in a little bit. I mean, we're no statistical experts here, but Chad, how are you feeling about these two games?
In simplicity terms, these are two middle-of-the-road SEC teams, and that's where we're at. That's where the Hogs are right now.
Mm-hmm.
The only wins that we've gotten are against really bad SEC schools, right? So we have... This is now the chance to differentiate Arkansas from the middle of the pack, because that's where we're at. So I feel like we're better than middle of the pack, but until we win these games like these, and these are hit or miss. Like, you can win or lose either one of these. So where you're playing the game is important. We know now we know what type of team our team is. So we gotta find a way to overcompensate for not being able to rebound. Got to hit free throws. Got to hit the three ball. I mean, that's how this team wins. We need our best players to play well. So these are hit or miss games, and it's going to be fun to watch them execute, because they're going to do it, Tommy. They're going to do it. They're going to win both these. We go 2-0 this week. Sweep.
Ooh, wow. To me, that's a big call. See, South Carolina, especially at home, I think that game's going to be fine. I think we get that W. Just kind of looking at the stats from their team, they have a few decent... They seem to be a team that's much more built around depth, or they play a lot more guys. A lot more guys get, you know, minutes. No guys are like our team where they're playing literally the whole game. I guess you would say their best player, at least scoring points, is Jermaine Cousinard. He had a big game when they beat Kentucky. He was pretty much unstoppable from three, and that's basically why they were able to beat Kentucky. I think South Carolina was also able to beat Virginia as well, which is another pretty decent team. But they seem to be a team that just kind of has highs and lows. You know, they play really well. They get up. I'm not really too scared for South Carolina. They have a player, Justin Manava, who's has about 8 rebounds per game. You know, any guy that gets a lot of rebounds, you should probably circle.
But
You know, he's I would say if you had to circle one guy to pay attention to, Manava. He's, you know, eight rebounds, about 10 points a game, at least in conference play. They have another guy that's at 7 rebounds, but realistically, almost that's basically where all their rebounds come from. Kotsar and Manava, these names, and Manava.
Tough. It's tough for the commentators.
So they have a couple, you know, big guys, so to speak. So we'll need to contain them. And but ultimately, I don't know. I don't think that there's a lot to talk about here. We should be able to handle this. To me, the bigger story is, you know, will Isaiah Joe play? Seems unlikely, I would say, at this point. And seems like that's okay because we played so well against TCU. So
that's the latest word. He's not playing?
Musk mentioned on Monday that he just seemed kind of uncommittal about all of it. He just said It's up to the trainers. He won't be practicing. He'll be – it's kind of – he's in a – play a little bit, see if his knee swells kind of pattern. And if it doesn't, then he can maybe get back in it. But if it continues to swell, he's kind of an obvious no. So my guess is that they're going to say, I would think that they would not play him against South Carolina and possibly play him against Alabama. Cause to me, that's a bigger game. You would want more.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just give him some more rest. I mean, it's kind of necessary and I don't know if we'll need it. I just don't view South Carolina as a great team. Now, Alabama, I have a very different opinion than you of Alabama. I think Alabama is playing really well right now. They're very fast paced. They're very offensive minded. I think that they will beat Arkansas by a lot.
Oh, look at the roles have reversed here. Yeah. I'm the downer usually. Look at this.
It'll be interesting to see this Alabama game.
Is it because you're sick? Is it because you don't feel well?
No, it's. I've just looked at a lot of. So when you look at Alabama, they have a really weird. I'm paying really close attention to conference stats right now because I feel like they're a better indicator of future, how good the team really is, a future success, so to speak. You know, everything that happens before conference play can be so manipulative of scheduling teams and stuff. Anyways, I just feel like once you get to conference play and you just look at those stats, there's a lot of good storylines. And Alabama's crushing it in conference play. They look excellent.
Here's the thing, Tommy. They are playing well, but they're gonna streak, ebb and flow a little bit. Like they can't keep this up. That's my stance. They're gonna dip a little bit, and Arkansas is gonna be there. The game plan is gonna be spot on. It's going to be phenomenal. The best game plan you've ever seen.
Think so, Chad. You think so?
I feel good about it. I feel really good. Sweep this week.
So right now, Alabama has 4 players averaging over 10 points per game in conference play. Okay. Kira Lewis Jr., he doesn't have the most. He's got 15.8. John Petty, he's probably their best player. He's got 17.2. Herb Jones and Jaden Shackelford. He has 12.8, and then Jaden has 10.7.
No word.
I don't know, Chad. They're an offensive team, and if they just, I don't think we can keep up offensively with offensive teams at the moment. They also have, they're a much better team at kind of dispersing their rebounding as well. Herb Jones, he's their rebounder at 8.3 per game. John Petty, who's their best player, he gets 7.2. And I feel like Arkansas struggles against teams where their top goal scorer is also one of their top rebounders. When that happens, that's bad. That's a bad recipe for Arkansas right now. And I think Alabama has that in John Petty. When he can get the rebounds and score points, I'm nervous.
Let's put some context behind some of these numbers, Tommy.
I'm nervous, Chad.
You want context?
Sure.
Behind some of these? They just came off playing Vanderbilt in Missouri. The slums of the SEC. So you're probably looking at some stats of, you know, against some really bad teams. Yeah, then they beat Kansas State in the Kansas State's not a good team. They won by 3 points. You know, yes, they destroyed Auburn. That was an impressive win. A little bit more into that game. I mean, they have the rivalry, all that good stuff. But I hear your concerns. The thing is, with Arkansas. As you know, my biggest concern, anytime we're at a distinct disadvantage, is against height. And they do not have that. Their biggest guy, they have a 6'9 forward and a 6'7 forward. Doesn't scare me.
Okay.
Is that bad? That's my point of view.
All right. Well, we'll see who's the better man.
Challenge. We need to put some kind of wager on this. Ooh. Not monetary, but like you know.
We do need to come up with some kind of, I mean, we could do like a big board kind of thing. I know some podcasts do where it's like, you know, where we keep track of things to see who's smarter. Actually, I think you've been much smarter thus far thus far in this basketball season than me. But we'll see if that continues. Shots.
All right.
I think so. I have
1-1. I'm saying 2-0.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. And I think we get smoked by Bama. And I would say, I don't want to put a number on it. I just think it won't be close at multiple points in the game. The best thing that would happen is if we go into halftime down by like 10, and then we just make adjustments and we somehow win the game. That would be the ultimate storyline for me, is if we can kind of crush them in the second half and come back. But I think that it's just going to be pretty lopsided. That's what I feel like.
Alabama shoots the three ball really well.
Yes, they do.
We're really good. That's one of our strengths.
Not that much anymore. Not in conference play.
Do you know why? The reason why is because we've been focusing all of our attention in the paint.
Yep.
And so we've been a little bit softer on the perimeter because we have these giants who are like 7 feet tall, who are like 6 inches taller than everybody else. So now we don't have to worry about that with Alabama.
Interesting.
Get that pressure. I could be way off here.
But you could be right too. I'm with you. It's. I guess what we're saying, at least it's sounding like, is that this Alabama game is we'll have a lot of telling perspectives on it. I see the team one way. You see it another way, and we'll learn a lot, I think, from that Alabama game. Interesting.
We'll see who's an idiot and who's really smart,
and who's the better man ultimately.
Who's the better man? Most importantly, who's the better man?
All right, Chad. So let's wrap up our basketball talk. I don't think we need to go from 1 to 14 and rank the best SEC. You know, your ranking of SEC teams. Even though I do that, and I think it's a lot of fun. What I want you to do is
you
to tell me the top four SEC teams, because to me, maybe I shouldn't say this yet, but to me, it is extremely difficult to say who's the four best SEC teams. They're all a muddle to me right now. But I'm curious what your opinion is. Who would you say are the four, 1 through 4?
You think it's a big mess, huh?
Yeah. It's tough because I think it was clear before conference play who everyone would pick in what order. But now, post-conference play, it's gotten really messy. Mainly because Auburn's really just been off lately. I don't know if that's a permanent off or what, but they've really gotten weird.
I'm going to stay firm in the four obvious that was before. I think teams just go through this in conference play. I think the four obvious ones are LSU, UK, Auburn, Florida.
Yes, those are the four. So, yeah, there is a clear, confident. That is clear tier A of the SEC right now. There's no
Even
doubt.
Florida's 4-3, Auburn's 4-2. I still think they're the
best. So rank them. Who's the best right now?
UK 1. I know this isn't what the record is saying.
Yeah.
Auburn
2.
LSU 3. Florida 4.
That makes sense. I mean, UK obviously lost to Evansville at home. Like, what an embarrassing loss. They lost at South Carolina. That's bad for UK. You know, Auburn has just been they haven't looked good in any game, basically. You know, they've been beating some teams, but they've looked off. Florida's been very up and down. And then LSU's been unstoppable so far, but they really haven't played that really excellent SEC opponent yet. So they're undefeated in conference. I think they started the year in the top 25, by the way, in case one forgets. So they had a high pedigree. People thought of them very highly. LSU's a really good team, and the fact that we almost beat them on the road, I think at the time didn't feel like that. You know, it felt like I was more disappointed in the loss, but that's actually a really really cool thing that we were close to winning. But LSU's kind of like, we are their signature win at this moment, which is not great for LSU. So it's just kind of like, where do you want to put your faith or your confidence in these teams at the moment? I agree with you. I think UK, even though they've lost some bad games, still when they're on, they look the best. They have the most potential. So I think UK is a solid one at the moment. I agree with Auburn at two. I agree. I think I'm with you exactly. I think LSU I'd put right now at three and Florida right now at four. But, man, that could switch so fast.
Yeah.
LSU could nosedive quickly. Florida, they're really good too. They are. They can come back against anybody. So when you look at their stats, they just are very complete. They've built their team correctly.
Florida terrifies me.
Florida's going to destroy us. I mean, that's going to be our biggest loss of conference, I think, or it should be.
Yeah.
That's going to be the biggest
loss. Experience our first
blowout
loss. Oh, it's, we can agree on that one.
It's going to be bad on that one. Blackshear is going to have his highlight tape.
He's going to have a full harvest of crops.
That's right. His full harvest of crops. I like it.
I mean, his name's Blackshear. It just kind of sounds like, you know, sounds like a tool you use out in the field.
Yeah. I like it. I like it, Blackshear. So let's touch briefly.
How do you get the crops down? I use my Blackshear.
The Blackshear.
Done.
Let's talk a little bit about hockey and what they were up to this past weekend. They went to Missouri State, had a couple victories. I actually watched the Friday night game, won it 2-1. Sugasawara had the game winning goal. It was pretty sweet. They again won on Saturday 5-1. They have games upcoming. Let's see here on. Again on a Friday night and Saturday. They're playing East Texas Baptist University. East Texas Baptist University. Not to
That's
be confused with East Texas University. But interestingly, they're playing at home in Springdale, but this is a big but. They're Division II team. So they're actually a division higher than what we've been playing. So it
doesn't seem right.
This could be interesting, okay? So they're a division higher.
Doesn't feel right, though.
East Texas Baptist University, Division II. So if we lose these games, I don't know. I really don't know what that means. But they should be better. So just take that with a grain of salt. And then the Hogs will be rolling into Nashville after that for the SEC-HC tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully I'll be able to go catch some games there. They're actually doing this thing where if you go to their social media page, you can find a link to someone's email and email them, and they're having a pregame two-hour, I guess, just meet up and like a mixer almost with the team and the coaches. So all you have to do is just, you know, email this guy. You'll get some little snacks and some non-adult drinks, I think is what it says, and you get to kind of hang with the team a bit. So that will be a lot of fun if I get to do that. Hopefully I can.
Awesome.
I haven't emailed the guy yet, though, but for anyone in the Nashville area that's kind of interested in checking it out, by all means, it's a cool opportunity.
That's awesome.
Yeah, if I see Sugasawara, it's probably going to get weird. I'll probably embarrass myself because he's my he's the guy I like
fangirl.
The most. Yeah, fangirl.
Fangirl.
I'll fangirl against Sugasawara. It's funny because he doesn't even have social media. So I'm not even 100% positive of what he looks like. I just imagine he's kind of shorter. And anyways.
I feel like you'll know. Like when you see him, you'll know.
Hopefully.
You know? Like that's him.
Yes, I'll know. I'll see the twinkle in his eye when we meet, and it'll be magical. Well, I don't think we have a lot to talk about football at all. So.
Football.
I got nothing. Baseball.
Oh yeah, good scrimmage the other day. Yesterday.
Tell me about it. I haven't even heard anything about it. Do you know what's
Heston Kerstad, two home runs.
Whoo!
So that's good to hear. Our big bat, my guy Heston. One of them was Oppo. I mean, both of them were the lefty, going out and hitting it to our bullpen, into the hog pen. So really cool that he's getting it going. Heard really good things about the freshman. Walker, I believe his name is. I forget his name, but So one of our, and this is the guy who technically should be in high school this spring, but left early, graduated early. And so like, this is his senior year of high school, basically spring, and he's playing for the Hogs. So obviously a huge talent.
Yes.
Also to Christian Franklin, I'm fired up about the guy. Cannot wait to see him. Still curious. I'm assuming that Wicklander is going to be the ace on Friday night. Could be wrong. See if Connor Nolan, what kind of role he plays. But yeah, they had a cool little scrimmage. And the first opening night is Valentine's Day, Friday night.
How romantic.
What better way to spend your Valentine's?
Yeah, I saw a projected lineup by Ryan. Oh, I don't cool. know. I don't know how he pronounces his last name. I'm going to say Folks. It's F-O-L-K-E-S. He's very popular in baseball. So if you're not following him on Twitter, you're missing out. It's at Ryan F-O-L-K-E-S. I mean, he's basically Mr. Baseball for the Razorbacks.
Oh, yeah.
His picture is kind of like the side of his head with like a hipster. He's got a nice really hipster cool haircut. So he tweeted out his assumption of the projected starting, you know, starting lineup, just based off what Dave Van Horn has said in you know, leading up to the games, not necessarily what he would do, just what he's heard. So he thinks leading off will be Webb, and he, I think, is some kind of, I guess, a JUCO product that we've brought in, and he, you know, has a really high batting average. I mean, he seems to be your pretty stereotypical leadoff guy. And then Kerstad second, Goodhart, who we haven't really talked a lot, batting third.
No, is that third baseman?
Oh, he's getting on the field?
Yeah.
Last year he was just a designated hitter, correct?
Oh, you're right. I'm getting mixed up.
He could move to the field. I don't know. Is he going to be a designated hitter, do you think?
I don't know. I'd be curious. Yeah, he had some big hits last year.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, and then Casey Martin fourth. Oppitz fifth, Franklin sixth, Austin seventh, Nesbitt eighth, and Moore nine. So I'm guessing Goodhart will still be our designated hitter in the lineup. But yeah, just it's a great lineup. I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm a big Casey Martin, Casey Oppitz guy. Chad's your big Heston Kerstad guy. He loves him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't love him.
Love Heston.
Nope, not me.
If we did the best friend game, Heston would be my best friend every week. I don't care like how we'd perform.
I feel like our middle ground is Franklin. We both really like Franklin. He's like, for some reason, the one player we could just crush on together.
Oh, yeah.
In the most appropriate sense of the word.
Yeah. If you want to talk Christian Franklin or Heston Kerstad, I'll do it 30 minutes. 45 minutes at least. We can just go on. I'm down for that.
Sounds good. And I'm kind of hopeful that Chad and I, once we get into the swing of baseball, can get some baseball guys on the show. Maybe to I feel like we have some kind of personal contacts with some guys that claim they know, you know, have some contacts with Arkansas baseball. So we'll see. We'll see what we can scrounge up, and if anything good comes about. But we'll definitely give, you know, baseball coverage and, of course, finish out with basketball and probably give a couple of weeks there of nothing, who knows, and then back to football. So it's kind of neat that Arkansas has so much passion for all the sports, you know, so many different ones that it's good. You know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Year round. I don't know if you kept up with it, but the gymnastics meets, the attendance has been insane.
Like, wow.
5,000, 6,000. Like, it was a full arena there for Barnhill. And they do cool events. So, like, this last Friday, I was going to try to go. But, like, it was, like, dress up as a princess night, and they had, like, things going on for the kids. So, really smart on their end. They've had two home meets since then, and it's been a full house. So they're doing it right. They're doing good.
That's cool.
We don't have a pro team. So it's like year-round, we got hog stuff, but during the summer, it's brutal. No events.
Everybody recharge during the summer. Get ready for football.
That's right.
Hopefully it won't be as disappointing as is the trend. Well, Chad, thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it a lot.
Absolutely. I've got some parting thoughts
here.
Okay,
let's hear them.
Here's the thing. Have you seen the Peloton commercials? You seen these?
Yes, I think so.
A lot of them. There's a ton of them on. I feel like Peloton knows. I'm usually like face deep into like some chicken wings or pizza. I'm eating like the worst possible thing I could whenever they come on and they're just like shaming me.
Yep.
And so it always happens. I'm eating something horrible or drinking something. It's just making me feel gross. And every time I look up and I see these people on their little Peloton, right? Little bike doing their thing, paying way too much money for exercise equipment and for someone to sit there and scream at them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. Sick of it. That's all I got.
I've heard that Peloton, recently really shifted their marketing. And I don't know how recently could be a stretch there, but you know, for a long time, they only marketed towards the upper class. And more recently they've dipped into the middle class, and that's who now they want to market. And they've gone through the roof since they have, which is just kind of interesting. You know, I guess sometimes you fall into your niche, but yeah, Peloton is so hot right now.
So
they make
hot.
Everybody feel bad for eating chicken wings.
That Hansel. So hot right now.
was that all you had for your parting shots, yeah, Chad?
That's it. That's all I had.
Just Peloton making you feel bad.
I'm disgruntled. I'll never buy it.
Well, I'll leave everyone with a action item here. Okay. So the past 2 days, my wife has been out of town on business, and I've been having to watch my kids. I had to take off work and watch my kids by myself. Okay. Let me just tell you, that's a lot of work to watch the kids full time. You know, sometimes you don't think it's a lot of work, but let me tell you, it was a tough day. It was tough. It's tough watching the kids all day long. They about drive you crazy. Literally, you're trying to clean or keep things organized in one room, and they're in the other room just destroying it in less than a minute's time. It feels defeating. You know, at the end of the day, they're alive, they're fed, they're semi-happy. You did your job. But what I want to leave everyone with is, if you have somebody you live with who does things for you, whether it's take care of kids, whether just does the dishes, cleans the house sometimes, don't take any of that for granted and go and tell them, I really appreciate you today. You know, it's easy to take them for granted and just say, I see you, I see what you did. Thank you. You know, whether it's a roommate, whether it's a spouse, doesn't matter. Just go tell somebody, thank you for what you've done. I appreciate you. I see you. There you go.
Love it. That's good stuff.
Well, all right. Well, y'all have an amazing week. And Woo Pig.
Woo Pig, Tommy. Woo Pig.
Thank you for listening to Hard to Be Humble. Every ounce of support you give us is greatly appreciated. We can't thank you enough for tuning in with us today. Go now and follow the show on Twitter at @humble_podcast and on Instagram at @hardtobehumblepodcast. And if you'd like to have any of your thoughts, ideas, opinions, or concerns heard on the show, you can leave a voicemail or text our dedicated phone number at 615-392-0107. Hog calls are especially encouraged. And finally, never forget, as the late, great Mac Davis taught us so long ago, it can be really hard to be humble, especially if you're an Arkansas Razorback fan. Go Hogs!